So I want you to turn to your neighbor, and you can decide who that person is, and tell that person, if you had to choose one word for 2018, what that word was. Go. One word. Last year, to describe 2018, one word. Well, okay now. Good. Thank you. Well over a half century ago, oh, was it that long ago? Oh my gosh. Four working class boys from Liverpool, England, landed in this country and appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, and the country fell in love. But I had fallen in love with the Beatles quite a bit earlier. You gotta admit, they were adorable. They were enchanting, and I was 14 going on 15. They meant everything to me and to my favorite cousin, Frimma. When we were together in her basement rumpus room, a word I haven't heard in a really long time, rumpus room, I'm so apologizing to the Gen Xers and the Millennials, I'm so sorry. We listened eagerly, passionately to their songs to come up on the top 40 radio station. Another gone thing. She loves you, yeah. But of course, we heard this line as he loves me, yeah. She liked Paul, and I liked John, or was it the other way around? Anyway, for a couple of teenage girls, they were gods. They were salvation and certainly the embodiment of love. So if you talk to academics who teach evangelists what is known about the psychology of conversion, they will commonly tell you that teens, young teens especially, are ripe to get into something. Their hormones and their great, mostly unrequited longings are just sitting there, more properly seething there, ready to connect. With young people, it seems to me, at least it seems to me, it can go one way or the other, love or justice. In the case of the teens and young adults I knew anyway, you either hung out with those folks who some older people often scornfully called peaceniks, sitting in coffee houses planning demonstrations, the justice freaks, or were those who took the bus to the Haight-Ashbury for the summer of love, buying love beads, hanging out in the park, the love-in crowd, marching on one side and mellowing out on the other. Love is but the song we sing, fear's the way we die, kind of justice-y. All we need is love, do-do-do-do-do, all we need is love, the love side. Which brings me, ta-da-da-da, to the word of the year for 2018, selected by one of the major publishers of dictionaries, Merriam-Webster, based entirely on what they call look-up data. In other words, what word or words are being most searched for? Justice. You guessed it. For many reasons and for many meanings, one thing's for sure, justice has been on the minds of many people in 2018, one of the dictionary editors pointed out. 74% more lookups for justice on Merriam-Webster.com than in 2017. In response to what? In response to the constant stream of news stories about the Department of Justice, for example, and the selection of justices, for example, and the concept of justice in general being at the center of so many of our national debates last year, from social justice to criminal justice. So the more conversation and the more sound bites, the more people were led to seek a clearer idea of what we mean when we say the word justice. What is the definition of justice? The quality of being impartial, fair, is one definition of justice. Reasonableness in the way people are being treated, another definition of justice. Morally correct, another definition of justice. Justice is a big word in our faith tradition. Would you not agree? Justice. As the larger culture has struggled to define itself, to position itself on what is sometimes pictured as that love-justice continuum, so has our loosely knit Unitarian Universalist Association and the congregations like this one, who are the heart and the justice feet of this movement. No denying, we are the heart of our movement. So what comes first? Love? You could vote. Love or justice? Love or justice? Not even. What changes us, transforms us as individuals? Our minds or our hearts? And then what changes the world as Unitarian Universalists? Coming together, as one of my ministerial colleagues has called kissing cousins, related but not in the same nuclear family, one religious tradition, Unitarianism, emerged more directly out of the Enlightenment, with its emphasis on reason and empiricism and its goal of better and more just societies. So for Unitarians, you might hear, what's love got to do with it? And I'm not singing that song. I wish I could, but I won't. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? The other, Universalism, more interested in universal individual salvation and a heartfelt personal relationship with God, a God which was all-loving, is all-loving. He or she loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All we need is love. That's Universalism. As we frequently, perhaps too frequently, remind ourselves, making generalizations about Unitarian Universalism as a monolith, as a spiritual block, is an exercise in futility. But a survey of our language around who we are, what beliefs undergird the issues we took on in our earliest years as a fused Unitarian Universalism would indicate that it was mostly couched in rights and righteousness, in justice language. If we are what we covenant together, then there has been, whether intentional or not, since our merger, a process of gradual omission. To put it succinctly, until recent years, where had all the love gone? So some history. Reverend Dr. Edward Frost, in his very fine With Purpose and Principles, essays about the seven principles in Unitarian Universalism, says that while we might not agree that we have a common creed, do you agree that we have a common creed? We have a long history of attempts to state, if not a common faith, at least a workable consensus about what brings us together as a religious community. So if we look at the history of Universalist statements of belief, the original emphasis in Universalism seems really clear to me. The so-called Winchester Confession affirmed that they called the central doctrine of the new American religion, which they claimed, Universalism called themselves the new American religion. Did you know that? The new American religion, that in God's love and forbearance, all souls are saved. So they provided a loving God model for a loving people, central to their faith. That's one part of our heritage. This emphasis on love, especially divine love, could be seen in the first hymn published after the two denominations merged. And I know we're not supposed to say merge. What are we supposed to say? It's merge is not the word we're supposed to use. Join together. In 1964, in the Gray Hymnal, Hymns for the Celebration of Life, there is the Universalist Declaration. We avow our faith in God as eternal and all-conquering love and in the spiritual leadership of Jesus. On the Unitarian side, the very first statement from the American Unitarian Association revealed, as Dr. Frost has written, the predominantly practical emphasis of Unitarianism. Quote, We value our doctrines only as far as they evidently are the revelation of the will and character of God, and so far as they tend to improve the religious, moral, and intellectual condition of mankind. The great end of this association is the promotion of pure morals and practical piety. Not much love there. In all fairness, however, in an effort to redefine itself as a Christian denomination, the Unitarian Universalist Association back in 1894 adopted another statement which declared, "These churches accept the religion of Jesus in accordance with his teaching that practical religion is summed up in love to God and love to man," which deliberately excluded humanists and led to a huge divide between the humanists and the theists that lasted at least 50 years and indeed well into the 21st century in some corners of our movement. In the back and forth swing between heart and head, love and justice, God is love, God is moral judge, one covenant in the 1964 hymnal was clearly a tilt towards the mind justice end of the continuum. In the freedom of truth and the spirit of Jesus, we unite for the worship of God and the service of man. Women, note, mankind, I can't keep changing it, but I apologize for our forefathers. And what I see as an emerging compromise or moving towards each other on the love justice poles, a familiar affirmation and the theme of this year's canvas. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. But while this is often recited and often even hung on some sanctuary walls I've seen, this has never been a formal statement of what we hold in common. The emphasis following World War II has been based less in traditional or even non-traditional religious language or statements of faith and more as what we call prevailing principles. I want you to listen carefully to the first five principles developed by the first committee dedicated to coming up with some kind of common statement. Individual freedom of belief. Discipleship to advancing truth. The democratic process in human relations. Universal brotherhood. There you go again, brotherhood. Undivided by nation, race, or creed, and allegiance to the cause of United World Community. Not many warm fuzzies there. Somehow and somewhere between the original effort to reform our statement of things held common among us and the resulting seven principles and purposes we have today, love missed the cut. The one fleeting reference to love in a 1983 revision of the UU bylaws asked us to defend and promote love, acceptance, and spiritual growth in our religious communities and a world community of love, justice, and peace. In the final version, the one most of us know, love was lost. Was it because love was thought of as just Judeo-Christian property, relegated to one mention in our listing of the sources of our living tradition, and by placing it more prominently and solidly in our covenant, we would be playing religious favorites? Does its omission then mean we are saying that other world religious traditions, including religious humanism, do not value love? Or that love is not a factor in human transformation or the transformation of the world? And then, since compassion was kept in, are we assuming that these words are synonymous, love and compassion? The last time I checked, compassion is concern for others. Is not love something deeper, or at least different than that? So what's the fuss anyway? Love or justice, love and justice, what's it all about anyway in these times, in this time? So I've come up with two reasons, at least, why this matters, one personal for all of us and one more global. First, with all we know about personality and human growth, it seems to be true that we are different in where we start, where we personally, individually feel most at home on that love and justice continuum. Some of us, as the Myers-Briggs indicators would assert, are inherently prone to prefer reasoning our way and judging our way through our experience in our lives. Some are stronger on feeling and sensing. The human task, the personal growth challenge for all of us, is to move towards balance, nudged and nurtured by those around us and along us on our journeys, not love or justice, but love and justice as we go through our lives. The second consideration is how we respond as congregations and as a society to the issues we face. Where is justice in this? And where indeed is love? The need to lift up the love side of our UU faith movement first emerged as a rallying point for us in 2004 in Massachusetts during our earliest efforts on behalf of fully inclusive legal marriage. We love who we love, we said. We love who we love, and that's why this law has to be passed. There in Boston and here in Alabama. Our now decade-old national Standing on the Side of Love public advocacy campaign was launched after the 2008 fatal shootings at our congregation in Knoxville, which, as many of you remember, was targeted by the killer because they were and are welcoming to LGBTQ people and have a progressive stance on many issues. Those murders were horrendous. But instead of reacting with hate and a cry for retribution, our Knoxville UU siblings responded with an outpouring of what? Love, which inspired what is now a far-reaching effort to combat hate and the actions that result from hate. Now called Siding with Love, in recognition of the history of injury and exclusion from those of us with disabilities, the initiative has the express goal of harnessing love's challenge, harnessing love's power to challenge oppression and destruction wherever we find it, becoming known as the love people. You know that, don't you? We're the love people at demonstrations with our overly bright yellow t-shirts, in my opinion, and sweatshirts. Why couldn't they have made them blue? We are the love people wherever we go now. In signs posted and banners carried all over the country, we Unitarian Universalists proclaim proudly and loudly that love is love, Black lives matter, climate change is real, no human being is illegal, all genders are whole and holy and good, women's rights are human rights, and women have agency over their bodies. Starting here in this sanctuary, in this fellowship, as our congregational president just declared, love is the spirit of this place. So we are challenged to pledge our love and to support this fellowship. Love or justice, love and justice, in the words of an old and familiar and beloved hymn, we would be one in building for tomorrow, a better world than we have known today. We would be one in searching for that meaning which binds our hearts and points us on our way. As one, we pledge ourselves to greater service. With love and justice, strive to make us free. May it be so.